Hope Bay Station Jacks. I'm Tom Howell. She's AV on the board. And we'll be all this week because Matt Weber is officially married. I can't say that I watch it because, of course, we were a tad late. But everybody said it happened, so and everybody looked married. So when they had a good time at the wedding, and so here we are talking about a market crash, which is always good to talk about. The anybody who saw any good news this weekend regarding the market, please call in because I didn't see any. We have Frank Fahey with us, I believe.
You definitely do.
What we're seeing, I don't even want to say this, S&P futures down 145, so I guess they're trading again because 5% they were locked down half the night.
Down 145 is the lockdown.
Oh, it's a lockdown. They got it 4.89% here, so it's locked down. Dow futures down 12.55, NASDAQ futures down 4.10, so they can't trade. So I guess we got all kinds of stuff to talk about, Frank. That what do you make of? I was reading about the Seattle nursing home. That's a total disaster. The ship is a disaster. I'm not saying anybody's doing anything wrong. I'm just the nursing home. They won't let anybody, even with masks and eyeballs on, to go see their loved ones. So they're just calling you saying, you know, mom's 85. She's okay. She's okay. Oops. Mom's got a fever of 104. We don't think she's going to make it. Evidently, they're not even letting in, from what I understand, new caregivers. Those people that are in there are stuck for the duration because half of them got it.
For the rest of their life.
I mean,
not to be too morbid, but.
What, I've never heard anything like that. That no, you can't go in and visit anybody or whatever. I mean, no taking anybody to a hospital, nothing like that. I mean, what is going on?
It's a plague. I'm sort of resigned to the fact that I'll probably get this unless the virus mutates.
I think that's where I am too. I mean, I'm going to get it and hopefully I'll survive and won't get it again. I don't know if it's one of those you keep getting or what. Individuals.
No, I don't, it doesn't appear that it's one that you can get again, unless I guess it mutates. I don't have the natural gift of understanding it and knowing it all like our fearless leader.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's everybody seems like it's, you know, everybody's criticizing people, and yet you wonder what the best was. But I think you have to be careful what you say, Frank. Obviously, I mean. The idea that you didn't want the ship to dock, I don't think he meant that. You can't say, I don't want the ship to dock because our numbers will go up. Well, so as long as you keep the thing 12 miles offshore, there's not really Americans sick on the boat? I mean, what are we doing?
I would say that that is how that particular person thinks. We've never seen anything to show that it's not how he thinks. The driving force behind his thought process is how it affects him. Let's ignore this.
Yeah.
You know, the president, because we're probably at the point where we should ignore anything he says and pay attention to what even Pence says. Pence is at least there and trying to do something positive.
I think he is too.
For the country, I think.
I do too. And I think
and so I'll go with that. That's a step forward for me. But, you know, what do you do? I don't know. Right now, last week I think I said that anything you do before a pandemic is considered overkill, and afterwards it's underkill, you know, if you in fact have it. And we're at the, we didn't do enough.
I don't know if this could have been stopped, Frank. I really don't.
What?
I don't know that it could have been stopped.
Well, I don't think it could have been stopped. Well, at a certain point, we're trying to ameliorate or lessen the effect that once it's here, what do we do? China has cut back, if we trust their numbers.
I don't think that, I think that that place is, I think if so many people got it, they just stopped counting.
But there's a World Climate Organization that says that in the manufacturing area of China, they're starting to see pollutants rise again.
which is the only way.
Which implies that they may be working. Of course, they may be working them until they die, but
I'm not so sure that they're just done telling people to go back to work if they have it. I mean, if you couldn't give it to anybody else and you had the, it's like you get a mild cold. You're not going to stay
home. Yeah, well, I read an interview with the Canadian head of the World Health Organization yesterday, and he doesn't trust China's numbers because their definition of mild is a viral infection, high fever, and pneumonia, but just a regular case of pneumonia. That's the mild definition.
That would be a little more than mild for me.
Right. You know, and where are we going to find a hospital bed?
Well, you mean you're sore, but that, you know, a lot of this is, I'm going to say not normal, but not out of the, I mean, we have bad years and flu all the time here where you can't get a hospital bed, and people say stay away from an emergency room. This does seem a little worse. Audrey went out to her Asian doctor friend, and of course got us a load of antiviral tea. I said, well, did you get a chance to talk to him? And she said, yeah. So what'd he say? He said, well, he said, most people do not have anywhere near the respect for how dangerous the normal cold and flu is worldwide to everybody. He says, this is probably going to be worse, a little worse, hopefully. He said, but just the normal stuff, if people saw the statistics, would be appalled. I mean, he goes, as a doctor, the last thing you want for your patients that are compromised is any kind of a flu walking through or even a cold. I mean, everybody goes, they kill more people worldwide than cancer. You know, maybe.
And we've seen that because there is a certain point in the aging process, and we've seen it with parents or grandparents or friends, where you look at them and you go, you know, the next opportunistic infection is going to take them out.
Yeah.
They're not going to survive it.
Well, then some, like the 1918 thing, that was so unusual because it hit younger people. It hit people with the better immune systems.
It took out my grandfather's wife on my mother's side and my grandmother's husband, and they were each in their mid-30s.
Do you think the people in their 30s with the places they worked and the chemicals they were around and the smoking they did might have been a little more compromised?
It might have been, except women were being taken out. And then in 1918, women weren't smoking.
That's true. Yeah, pretty much that's true, I would say.
The big move towards smoking was Rosie the Riveter. Actually, it was Kent cigarettes in the Micronite filter. And they sold it as a cigarette for ladies.
Oh, God. So I got a good one for you. Just when you think the world is getting squirrelier, I'll throw an even dumber story in here. To Maddie's wedding, right? Nice time. So then somebody says, hey, did you hear how famous his brother Clay is? And I go, no, what did Clay do? And Clay's a chef, for God's sake. Nice guy, plays on our softball team. Well, he and Maddie, he came up with it. They came up with this barbecue sauce.
Mild sauce, right?
Yeah. When the mild is on the thing in such big letters that you assume that there's a hot sauce. So I go, Maddie, where the hell's the hot sauce? We don't have a hot sauce. Well, why don't you just say it's your sauce instead of, are you going to come out with a hot sauce? Well, no. So anyway, so they're selling some of this stuff. All of a sudden, they get this massive hate thing on either, I don't know if it's Facebook or Twitter or something, that what is a white guy doing? Coming up with sauce and stealing the African-American, whatever, market that should be just, you know, Frank, I'm supposed to be this guy from the back in the day where people didn't like people of other color. First of all, I was never that guy. The thought of me kicking up YouTube and looking for a corned beef recipe and having some black guy or black lady teaching me how to cook it, I would never even bat an eyelash. I would just say, wait a minute, you've got no business teaching somebody how to cook corned beef. It would never cross my mind. And do these people that are this ignorant, they honestly think
that... Yeah, but see, there are people who would cross their mind.
I gotta think worse or something. Plus, what makes them think that the black names Robinson, Stubbs, that aren't just owned by corporations? They got a black guy in a bottle. I mean, are people really that stupid? I mean, some people...
I would go with the word ignorant.
Okay.
And we're seeing a lot of terminal ignorance right now, whether it's talking about barbecue sauce or the coronavirus. I once described those folks as being dumb and proud of it.
Well.
You know, and so, and it's ignorant and proud of it. Number one, they're ignorant, and then they aren't embarrassed.
No, not embarrassed by
any
at all.
Level to share it.
Sound like a politician.
Me?
No, the people that are happily to be caught in a lie, they're fine with it. All right, so Frank, we got to talk about the you're the man. Oil prices, that's what's triggering a lot of this stuff, not just the virus. $31.92, down $9. The demand for oil has been softening. The OPEC was supposed to do some kind of a supply drain, and they did not. Is Russia in OPEC or not? Or are they just, they come to the meetings and they're like a gadfly and halfway of a...
I don't know anymore.
I don't think they're official member, but they go to the meetings, I think. So all of a sudden, right. Putin is pissed off at the Saudis. So he says, okay, we're going to open up the spigot. We're going to try and screw the American guys on purpose while we've got this virus. Is there no virus in Russia, or they're not admitting to it?
It's not part of the 5-year plan, even though it's not communist anymore. I don't know. They're claiming it's not there, but it's going to be there.
It's got to be. Anyway, so now all of a sudden oil prices were down 10% on Friday, and now they're down another 20% today. So they're $31.92, which has got to be...
It was at below $30 when I woke up at... Yeah. 1:30 last night. You know, I was curious. What are they doing to oil?
Well, I've got the XLE down $6 this morning. The only thing I've got up today are bonds, because of course the 10-year has got to be 0.44%. Is the Fed is just pouring money into the place? They used to call it helicopter money. Just pour money in, it's going to somehow fix stuff. And you know what, Frank? It's not going to fix anything. It's really, really bad planning and. I think it's really an awful idea, and now we're going to cut some deals with these drug companies. I mean, clearly, we have to try and minimize what's going on until there's some sort of antiviral thing, or there's got to be some kind of a vaccine, which has got to be months away. And
one of our fearless leaders was reassuring the drug companies that they would make a profit on whatever they come up with.
Right.
Irrespective of the input or help they get from taxpayer-funded research.
Every single time something happens, the same people lose and the same people win, Frank. And if we don't figure out a way, I mean, this is not just my South Side, you know, middle-class upbringing. This, I believe, is economic truth. You're way better off economically with 1,000 people buying a bass boat than you are one guy buying a multi-yacht, just in terms of the economy. And if people don't think that, I think they're wrong. And now we're going to have to incent. Now, what do we have to give? What do we have to promise Merck? Freedom from antitrust forever? I mean, what do we have to promise these people?
And they aren't even, and so few of these are even U.S. corporations anymore.
Right. Well, they don't care. They're worldwide corporations.
Headquartered overseas, but we have to allow them to advertise in the United States because of their R&D.
Yeah.
But wait a minute, that's a foreign company's R&D now. I don't care if they can't, you know, advertise in their home country. Why are we letting them ride our backs here?
Well, some of these snacks are...
I'm sounding like, I'm sure 90% of our audience thinks I'm a commie.
Oh, but you're not. But this is just, if everybody... We either move forward together or we don't. I mean, not everybody's going to be on the same page and all that kind of stuff, and that's what competition is all about. I mean, I get all that, but by and large, how much can we, I mean, look at these individual stocks, how much they're getting whacked here. I've got Boeing down 20, Boeing's 241. You don't hear anybody complaining about not having any 737 MAXs, do you? I mean, they got so many planes now, they don't know what to do with. I got Apple down 1963, it was just down 20. Caterpillar down 10. Chevron down 11. It's one of the oil companies. We've got the oil index, XLE, down to 3620. When do you suppose the last time that thing was 3620? I can't even imagine that. I mean, Schlumberger is under 20 bucks, 1945. The stock was 78 2 years ago. We're talking about massive, massive hits here. You know, we've got, you know how bad it is? Gold's up, and yet the gold stocks are down. Figure that one out, Frank. I don't,
Well, we've always known that the gold producers index is a horse patooey tracker of what gold is doing.
Well, it sure is this minute.
We had to get rid of the oil producers index a while back. What was that, XOL or something like that? You remember that, XOP.
Yeah.
Because it didn't track. They finally had to shut it down because it was so bad.
Well,
what, 5-6 years ago?
Yep. I don't, there's starting to be a lot of, behavioral stuff in this mess, Frank. I mean, so we get a load of this. I go to the, wherever there is, people hoarding types of things, you know what's odd? It seems like every store that there's an empty shelf, people go and grab it. Like the bleach that was out last Sunday at the Walmart in Lamont, everybody saw there's nothing in the bleach house, so people ran and bought bleach. Okay, so you got to wonder what that's all about. Now the next day, the bleach was on sale at Meijer's. Then fast forward one more day, Audrey said the alcohol was out at the Jewel or something, Jewel Asco, and because
that's outside Jewel. Who knows, with St. Patrick's Day coming up? Come on, Doc.
Well, then they had to say on Friday that the people from Tito's had to say that their vodka was not good enough to kill a virus. So then everything of this, was this Purell or whatever, what's the stuff that came out? That's all, you can't find that anywhere. And I went to the Restaurant Depot on Saturday, and of course there's a lady with a mask poking around. They have hardly any antibacterial hand soap left at the Restaurant Depot, except if you want to buy like a huge box of it. And so, of course, I go home.
Is that the place on 127th, Tom?
Well, there's one there on 127th, and I go to the one on the big, huge one on Goose Island.
Okay, because at times I've been in Blue Island a number of times over the past month. I can't figure out why, but I have been.
You're taking your wife to the island, Stony Island, Blue Island?
Okay.
Just saying, you know. We know some people in... in Blue Island, the mayor, we went to Marist, and he was a classmate of our buddy Greg's.
I'm going, my birthday's on Friday, and I'm going to a fish fry at St. Benedict's on Friday. It's been around for 80 years, over 80 years.
Really?
Supposedly one of the best around.
We may have to talk.
Yeah, we should talk. That's one thing Susan and I have started doing in Lent. We're in a big city. It's very Catholic. Let's check out the Lenten fish fries.
Speaking of Catholic, Loyola Academy's closed today. They got a case.
Yep.
Where does this... It's interesting, Frank, when you see the market doing this and you see things happening. What has caused all this to somehow come together? Now, you know, I feel, to be perfectly blunt, my clients today, everybody who's in the Protect Your Next program, of course, I got all those people in gold, and they'll be fine, are going to lose a little bit if we stay here, but not very much. We've got puts on everything, and the volatility on the puts can be to the moon, so we actually probably won't lose anything today, but, you know, as the puts come down, we'll lose a little bit if we stay down here. But
are we going to stay here? Because we have 5%, and then the next circuit breaker, 7%. And that's for 15 minutes. Then we have 13%. Then we have 20%. And this is just on the indexes. And I think I sent that to you. And if we hit 20%, it shuts down for a day.
Well, I can't. I've had, over the last few years, I mean, when market does nothing but go straight up, I've had some clients leave. Everybody knows that. I'm truthful with that. and I have part of this big group now. I do the protected stuff for those guys, and we have had a lot of new people come in, and it's pretty interesting, Frank. It's almost like, you know, and I don't really care talking to clients. I mean, I like all of them, but some do kind of rub you the wrong way, where they're absolutely being abusive about any thought that the market could possibly go down and or go down before they would have a chance. I mean, people talk to people, and this is why there's the big lie thing. If you watch the
I had somebody on Friday, because I'll do consulting. People like to call up and say, "How can I fix my position?" And it's like, well, no, you can't fix a position. A bad position's a bad position. This guy had triple long ETFs, and he goes, "What should I do with this?" He said, close it right now. And he said, why? I said, nobody knows what this ETF is going to do with market movement. They don't track anything. The only thing it's going to do is suck money away from you, either way.
Right.
It'll go up, and you're going to lose money. Could lose money.
Frank, how do those products even get approved?
Pardon me?
How do those products even get approved?
I don't know. Greed.
You know, this is one of the oddest parts of the regulatory world we're in. If you have a brokerage firm like ours, it's a full service firm, you have to be very careful when your people use those products, because they take a heightened supervision, and I guess they should. Yet if you're, you know, some place where everything's electronic, it's nobody's responsibility to help you at all, or tell you that they're crazy, or there's nobody's responsibility to get them the hell off the market, because they got no business being there, Frank.
Variable rate annuities. I've been trying to understand for 4 years. Where do you make money? How do you make money? And there's certain times it makes sense. And basically, you start with, you have so much money that whatever you put into the variable rate annuity doesn't hurt you.
Yeah,
you know,
basically.
You can start there. But insurance regulation is the biggest pile of hooey I've ever seen in my life.
Well, because they control the regulators. Right.
And that's why they're the biggest contributors to state legislatures in the country. That gambling and medical insurance. Oh, come on.
All right, I've got the spiders down. Let's see, they were 339 on the 19th of February, which is not even a month ago. This morning I got them at 278, so that's 22 and 30, it's 61 points down. It's 20-some percent. That's, you're almost like getting abused by people. And, like, I watch the people on TV. They say the market's it's not going to go down. The Fed's in control. Don't worry about it. And the smugness of all the guys, if you get on TV somehow or another, you're going to get the memo that the market's going down. I don't think this market's taking any prisoners here this morning. And the worst situation is if somebody, I got Apple at 268. What would you do? I hate, God, these phone calls are the worst, Frank. What if somebody calls up, I mean, not a client, hopefully, because they would have them protected or at least talk to them about it. I bought Apple at 310. It's 268. I'm on margin. What do I do? Should I sell it in the hole? Frank, I don't know. I mean, does anybody know?
That's your decision, but let me tell you what the risks are.
Right.
And that's our job. But we could tell them what the risks are, and if we didn't tell them to sell it, somebody like you could, all of a sudden the next thing you're in arbitration, because you should have known, and you should have told them that risk was not sensible.
The only thing I'll say about we've gone through a period where the markets have gone straight up. Of course, everybody misses the part of what happened to get to 2009, how far it went down. But, you never worry about that. You always would have bought on the bottom, right? But when you look at the price of insurance, like Friday I was talking about at noon, the straddle in the S&P was over 2% or 11 o'clock in the morning. Well, we went a whole year and a half where nothing moved more than a percent in a day. Now we're talking about 2.5% in the afternoon. So the price of poker is seriously up. So right now, I mean, when you look at a stock and you say, well, the puts are this high, you know, because the VIX is, God knows where the VIX is going to be this morning. I'll try and, let me see if I can find it here. Well, it's not even open, but it's probably going to open 50-ish. close at 42. So 50-ish might be late. But anybody who has a certain amount of common sense in most other things, if you buy a Corvette, you say, well, all right, I can pay the $75,000 for a Corvette or whatever the hell it costs these days. Then you call the insurance guy, and he goes, well, that's a bad idea. The insurance is like $5,000 a year. You got to change the damn thing to the thing to the curb.
$5,000 a year with a $50,000 deductible.
Probably. God. Yeah. Then you go, well, if that's – you always look at the total price of the deal. But the weird part about stocks is that when they get high up, people feel very comfortable. And when they drop, I'm going to say that the puts in Apple today are going to be way more than they were when the stock was at 320 and the stock's $60 lower. I mean, does that make any – I mean, at some point here, even on the XLE, it's 35.78. I'm not smart enough to know what the point is. At some point here, you're going to say, if this thing's $25, you might go – I don't know if I need any puts here. I mean, where's this thing going to go? It's an index. We're going to have oil companies. I mean, I don't think we're there yet. But it is strange that when things are getting pummeled, people then are saying, now they understand the risk, even though that we're down what percentage, Frank? I mean, it's S&P futures down 145, NASDAQ futures down 410. These are real numbers. Frank, thank you very much. We'll come back with Mr. John Flanagan.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is now available to you. We are offering three of our research newsletter, the Daily World News Report, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks, including potential shorts. Each of these reports are available via email before the market opens. Go to our website, www.dacsresearch.net, to obtain the tool that meets your trading and investment needs. Or call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures trading have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment.
Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here.
Well, and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howell. She's AV on the board. Well, she's AV everywhere. In school, doing well. Here all week with Maddie Weber, now officially married. AV, she trained him all along the way, reeled him right in. He went the whole way, and everybody's good. It was a very nice wedding. SP Futures down 145. I mean, I'm not going to label this Black Monday. We already had one of those. But this is, so far, this is a very grim Monday. How's that, John? Grim Monday. So yeah, these are locked down, by the way. So we can't go any lower than this till the opening, and then we get down 7%. This is down 5%. NASDAQ futures 410. Dow futures down 1255. Individual stocks, you know, whack, whack. Apple down 20.5. Boeing down 23. Boeing is down 238. So it's way down there. We got Goldman Sachs down 17. Way under the 200 number, 175. Home Depot down 13. United Health down 9. Even the people in the health industry are getting whacked. Visa, as you might expect, down 12. Anyway, just not good anywhere across the board. Over in Europe, the DAX is down 761 at 6.5%. It's worse than here. Well, worse than here so far. Because so far we can only get down 5. FTSE down 392 at 6%. CAC around down 335 at 6.5%. So there's not a glimmer of good news over there. Let's see, we got, as soon as my machine is gagging on all these losses. Maybe why don't you do some traffic, weather, sports, and then we'll get the Asian numbers.
Good morning. Windy conditions are expected today as rain spreads east across the area. A few rumbles of thunder are possible through mid-morning across north-central Illinois. Rain will end overnight. Expect winds at 15 to 25 miles per hour. The highest of the day should be 54 and the lowest 37. In Phoenix, it's partially cloudy today with the highest of 77 and the lowest 58. Expect on and off rain showers overnight. In traffic, a 10 rain inbound at 31st, a reported multi-vehicle crash blocking the left express lane. Coming rain can make the roads to be slick. No major issues at this moment, but with more rain on the way, you may want to leave a couple of minutes early this morning to avoid some traffic delays. Bulls lost to Nest 107 to 110. Cubs lost to Diamondbacks 1-8, and White Sox. Do you have any White Sox?
Hawks lost too. Everybody lost.
Yeah, but.
So there's not a whole lot of good news this week other than Maddie getting married.
And yesterday was International Women's Day, so my best wishes to all the women in this world.
Yeah, and you, of course, being a part
and
of the female
you
union.
Men to yeah. Have us.
Yes, you're part of the female union. Of course, around me this morning about what did I buy Audrey? I could buy her for what? International female. I didn't even know there was such a thing. Sweetest day is bad enough.
It's never too late to learn.
Yes, something. Or for you ladies to teach us, is that what you're trying to tell me?
Well, I am trying to.
Yes, well, we're unteachable, some of us.
Exactly. You're all trainable.
Yeah, we're DK down 1,050, that's 5%. Shanghai down 91, that's only 3%. They're doing better than everybody else. Hang Seng down 1,106, that's 4%. Oil, with the big scramble now between OPEC and Russia to move to the bottom and try and destroy our shale people, 3,211, that's down $9. Brent down $9, 35.17. Natural gas, 162. RBOB gas, 115. That is unreal. It's down 23 cents. I'm going to have to go get the Suburban a big drink. Bonds, we tucked down to like 20 cents last night, or 20 percentage points. And bonds, this is just absolutely crazy. John, how are you?
I'm good, Tom. And you? Congratulations to the newly wedded couple, too. It sounded like a great time.
It was a good time. Although the place was on South Michigan Avenue, and I'm thinking they maybe didn't vet that location on a Saturday night. It's a little out there, but it was nice. You know, the families are two of the nicest families you ever come across. I mean, Jill's family is solid, and Maddie's the same way. His mom's terrific, and his brother's great. And, you know, it's a real good, two great American stories, so it's not, you know, anything that you don't want to have happen. It's pretty nice, and Jill looks spectacular. She always does, but she, you know, she was going to shred class, like, every day. Girl doesn't have an extra pound on her, right? And still she's doing shred class every morning for, like, a month. My God, what are you doing? But whatever. I mean, she wanted to. She did. She looked great. So that's where that all ends. So what do
I
you
wish mean? Them both well on their honeymoon and a life of wedded happiness. And it's great news. I'm glad for both of them.
Well, they're heading down to Mexico for a few days, but I think they're actually going to go for a week in Europe in the fall or something.
Right.
So, I mean, well, I tell you what, if you want to go anywhere right now, your flights are $50 to Florida.
Oh, my God. I'm getting pummeled with junk emails, you know, ridiculous airfares, you know, total giveaways. So
you're not convinced that the You're not convinced that the administration and the people around the world are trying to balance the budgets by dumping old people. Just saying.
Well, they look disposable, you know, in times like this, I guess.
Well, I was following yesterday that the airlines are giving senior discounts and business seats. They'll get them up in the air, get them the virus, and get them going. So if we knock off 10 million old people, that solves a Social Security problem?
We're down back to a, you know, age 60 life expectancy before we're through.
Yeah, it's certainly not funny, but...
No, it's black humor. That's all. Oh, I know.
I can't believe what's going on in that nursing facility in Seattle. You can't go even see your people.
If your
mom's in there, they say, "Oh, she's got it. She's toast." Well, can I see her? No. I'm like, holy bleep! How can that be? But that's kind of where we're at. Hey, with the bonds 0.40 10-year, the Bund minus 0.87, Japan minus 0.13, a gold rallying, even though the gold stocks are not rallying, but gold. Well, it was over 1,700. Now it's only 1,679. I got a line for you, a line from the ages, yeah, and you're such a wordsmith. I was going to run it by with Eric on Friday, but I did not. Can you recognize this one? So we beat on, boats against the current, borne back ceaselessly into the past.
That's the last line of the Great Gatsby.
Yes,
it is. Fitzgerald.
Yes, it is, and I'm not so sure that it doesn't actually... Mean what's going on today?
Yeah. Oh, and it, you know the great thing about that book and other books of that era is the illusion of a happiness or a bliss that's just around the corner, and you are trying to achieve something that's long gone. It never existed anyway, really, except in your imagination, and you keep, you know, trying to get back to it because you miss it, and you thought you had it at one time, and things have conspired against you to make it seem farther away now, and your life becomes a search for this unattainable nostalgia that is hardly enough to keep you going forward, but it just shows your discontent with the way things have turned out, and you seek refuge in a past that really is, you know, a total illusion. And it's one of the great ironies of the 20s when that book came out, that people were living at a time where, you know, all the indicators were prosperity and happiness, and you get a book like that shows it as being completely hollow. And that's really one of the reasons the book has endured so long and so powerfully, I think. And you can still read it and see so many parallels with just the way people behave, especially in times of apparent good, you know, feelings when the indicators are good and these things under the surface are not good at all. So,
well, you'd
it's
be
appropriate to bring that book up.
Well, the interesting, when you did you ever read Freedom from Fear from William Kennedy? It's a kind of it's a long book, history of the U.S. during the Depression and World War II.
No, I didn't, Tom. I've heard of it and I'd like to hear your take on it.
Well, it says a lot of what I talk about on the show. I've dug up from that book, and that really, I mean, everybody will say that the Depression started on you know, whatever, the stock market crash. It sort of really didn't. He said the agricultural part of the economy was in a depression for a decade before that. I think the coal areas already were. So things start to happen, and then all of a sudden one thing happens, and you're over the. I mean, I really have been, and I did not, don't think for a second that I predicted this for the market. All I've been doing for a long time is saying these are the risks. The risks are we have actually more debt than we had before. The risks are we've left an entire swath of the population with increased hospitalization and stuff, increased rent, increased taxes, with not much increase in wages. They're actually in worse shape in most cases. If they're employed, they're probably in worse shape than they were in 2008. If they're not employed, obviously they're better off now. I mean, if they weren't employed then, is what I'm saying. But you have to be, if you're aware and have your eyes open and listen to people, you pick up on little things that, if things are going good, if you've got, and I don't know how you, I absolutely don't want to criticize anybody, but I'll just point out that if all the people that are sitting there on CNBC are working for, you know, TIA Kraft, they're working for somebody, or by the way, they're getting paid to be on that show. So let's just say everybody there is sucking in $500,000 at some point. I mean, the hospitalization, they're not paying for it. I mean, they're very bright people, and you should be listening to them because they know a lot about the market. They know a lot about individual more than about individual companies than I ever will. I mean, that's why I listen to them. But don't ever think that the perspective is the same as yours. You know, when they say, well, these five people have a job, they should be okay. They're making $10 an hour, $11 an hour. What do you mean? Define okay. I mean, if they're not getting their hospitalization, they're clearly not. So you see this huge undercurrent of things in society. I mean, I see it in my potential client base, which a lot of what I do, protected stuff, is, I mean, 10, 15 years ago, every month I'd get a couple or two would walk in and they'd say, you know, I got my 401k, we're retiring, we got, you know, whatever. The number was always around $1 million. Because if you started saving when the 401k thing came in, you had some kind of company match, fast forward 20 years, it was about $1 million, John. 900, million one, something like that. If you had a better match, it might be $1.3 million. But it doesn't make you wealthy. That is just your retirement nest egg. And they'd say, okay, we know you're on this protected plan. We'll, like, give it to you. And things were, you know, we had nothing but people. I think just about all of them were pretty happy, certainly from the 1997 to 2007 area. And part of what happened after that was the interest rates down here. It's very hard to do the program. It's harder to do the program. It's not impossible. The things you pick, whatever, like last year, if you picked the Russell, you were down on the year. If you picked the QQQs, you're up on the year, pretty big. So everybody assumes that everybody should run the QQQ. Well, but a lot of people didn't want to be in the QQQ. Plus, I usually split everybody up in two or three different. But the point being is, not only is there a problem with that, with the interest rates, once you skew to the point where you can't get any interest for free money, everything else, for risk-free money, everything else skews weird. Now we're talking junk bond 5%. Nobody should ever be anywhere near a junk bond 5%. Well, I need the return. We don't need it that bad. And now, these people, I'm going to say right now that 40% of the people that are in the market, up to their eyeballs, should not be in there, Jen, in a real world. In a normal world, as your parents, there should be, you know, half of their dough or 40% of their dough, if they're 80-something, even at PTI, should be in T-bills, should be just a, you know, RBC or clearing firm making 3.5%. But guess what? You can't make 3.5%. So everybody says, oh, no, I want to be all in the market. But your risk, just because there's no return there, your risk shouldn't be there. The reason why people are nervous is because if you ask somebody, I mean, this is you know, money management, people management number 101, John. If I were to say to you, Johnny, what do you like about your portfolio? Yeah, I'm kind of nervous. Well, why are you nervous? Well, because I don't know, I'm worried about the market, blah, blah, blah. Well, what percentage in a normal world where you could make, you know, there was a risk-free return and there were some decent bonds I could put you in? You know, I'm not talking about 30 years if you're over 60, for God's sake. But even, you know, even I can get the tail end of a 30-year Ford bond for, say, 7%. Yeah, you know, give me some of those. And
I would probably be 20% cash, you know, 25% bonds, and maybe I'd be 50% in the market, or that does that add up. Or we'll throw a couple preferreds in there. All right, so where are you? Well, I'm 95% stock. I can't get any money anywhere else. Well, the reason why that man or that lady is nervous is because their portfolio does not match what they are comfortable with. And they're being forced to do something else and take more risk just to get any kind of return. And you hope to God a week like this is starting out, and hopefully it won't be a week, you hope to God something like this doesn't happen. And yet here it is. Because what makes anybody think that the stock market is going to be at this incredibly high rate when all this other stuff is falling apart around you? But 3 weeks ago, John, have a conversation with anybody. But, you know, what do you got in your mutual funds? Well, I'm all in stock. Can't make any money anywhere else. Everybody says not to worry, blah, blah, blah. Here I am. Now, I'm just saying that there's a huge coming together for a 5 or 6 year period that people became more and more comfortable in portfolios that they had no business in. I mean, I talked to somebody 2 weeks ago, literally was 81 years old, was all in stock, and wanted me to do more aggressive option stuff. And I go, I can't do that. Not only I won't. I mean, right? I mean, what are you doing? I can't make any money in the bank. I can't. There is no alternative. And now the Fed's making it worse. So last week, the Fed balance sheet went up $80 billion. And the headlines today are, our shareholders are running to the bond markets for safety. They're not going anywhere, Jen. The Fed is buying up bonds to a ridiculous price. They're printing money and they're buying bonds. Is there any way I could get some percentage of this population to understand that? Is there any way? Or am I just barking into the wind every morning?
It's always been the case. You know, if you listen to people over the years, like Terry Savage, who, you know, told people to hang in with the markets because you always will make money if you take the long view. And the trouble with the market run-up, you know, we've seen the last, you know, 10, 11 years or so, is that it's too easy to take the short view, and the profits are there, and the momentum is behind it, and it looks like it's a good alternative to anything else. And it becomes a kind of, you know, illusion that you're going to have this kind of you know, cushion against dips by being in the market. That's the last place you have cushions against dips. And if you do take the long view, you can weather this out just as you always have. But the problem is that people have been forced to plow everything they have, or most of what they have, into it. And that's never, you know, good, advice to follow, that you're somehow going to make yourself rich by having everything on one corner of your, you know, of investments that are available to you. And as you say, you can't make money any way else these days.
Well, the buy and hold theory is when you bought it and when you held it too.
Right.
But that's not... Now, okay, so if you bought Apple at 320, and I have no idea where Apple's going to go, and suppose this continues for a couple of weeks, and 10 years from now you sell it at 321, did you make money?
Sure.
Really?
Sure. I mean, you could... Again, if you look at it in a narrow window, you know, just, you know.
Yeah, if you look at it.
Micro bites of time. And the thing about, you know, being in the market, you really need patience more than anything else. Patience even more than money.
Right, so if great grandson Flanagan sells it for $321 40 years from now, do you make money?
Yeah, if
give me a dollar.
Sure.
Over 40 years.
Look, multi generations here, and I can't see how you wouldn't make money. But, you know, most people can't think in those kinds of time frames if they don't have the luxury of waiting that long to see the return.
Well, that's right. And plus, at that time,
they're in it to get what they can as quickly as possible.
Plus, is the 321, is the currency going to be the same when grandson Flanagan sells it for 321? this whole idea that as long as you wait it out, you're okay. If it sits there at 200 for 10 years, then you croak. Looks to me like that was a bad one. Our buddy Doc. Well, we're at one of the graduations party. Got a bunch of kids. His mom, she's still with us, by the way. And she's a trip. And she's so much fun. She goes, they do their stuff for her. So she says to me, "Hey, Jimmy bought this Citigroup stock, or was it J.P. Morgan, way back, you know, in 2007?" And she goes, he says run it for a long term. She goes, "Does that mean it's a clunker?" I go, "That's exactly what that means." When you see, John, you get a different perspective on these things. You could have been a trader for about a week. I don't think you'd have liked it, but you've learned from it. Whenever you come back with a position and say, "Well, I think the stock's going up," that means you made a horrible trade. You couldn't get rid of it. And now you got it. You're wearing it, as they used to say.
That's a special pleading. Hanging on. So.
Yeah, so you come back and say, "Well, I like GM." Another, what are you caught long? Well, yeah. but it was no decision you made. Just all of a sudden, now you're long calls, and you're like, "Now what do I do?" Where do you think we are? I mean, I'd love to have you on for a lot of reasons, but for one, what is the difference in mentality? Or is there really a difference? Or just, I mean, when we were younger, and I'm no doctor, and by the way, I have no real desire to get this disease, or anybody around me, or anybody, listeners, or anybody for that matter. But the mentality was, when we were younger, we're not going to fight the measles. We're not going to fight chicken pox. Let's get it over with. You want to stay away from scarlet fever, ones that were more dangerous. But basically, you didn't. There was no thought of a border wall against the next flu or anything like that. It just, I'm going to get it. I'll get over it. Virtually, not that people were stronger or better. They weren't, but. But somewhere along the line, are we gonna have to say with this one, just bring it on? We'll give special care to the old people, older people, the other people. Most of them are just gonna, they'll work their way through it. And 6 months from now, it'll be summer and the flu will be gone like it is every year. I mean, are we gonna get the white flag on this thing sometime soon?
I think you got to be somewhat stoical and say, as you did, bring it on, and. Let's do the best we can with it, with what we know about it, and we'll try to find out more about it. But if you look at the way this has played out in the past, and the book that comes to mind, I think it really is kind of the source book for all of this, is William McNeil's book, Plagues and People, which just came out, I think, back in the early 50s, maybe mid-50s. And it talks about, the relation between historical events and responses to plagues of all different kinds, and the mystery that surrounds them, and how these things become juggernauts when people don't know how to respond to them, and then they tend to go away, and there's this collision between the human species and the rest of nature that is still quite mysterious, and we are always playing catch up when it comes to getting the upper hand on any of this stuff, and it takes decades and decades sometimes to figure this stuff out. And if you just worry about it, or you sit home and pine away or throw in the towel, that's no good. You can't do that. You do have to kind of bolster yourself and expect to see things different from what you expected to see. And, it's a wake-up call at how little we know, how little we can do sometimes, to get the results we want. But that to me is just, it's a good, healthy dose of reality. And there's nothing wrong with confronting it and just saying, we're not sure where this is going, but it looks, we'll study numbers, we'll look at patterns, we'll do the best we can with it. But it's always been a battle. There's no reason why we should think these battles aren't going to be fought again, sometime in the future. This is the way, life tends to unfold. And we are no better armed in some ways than we were 100, 200 years ago to deal with diseases we haven't had to deal with before.
Well, I hope we do better at
numbers. I still keep going back to things like the swine flu in 2007 or whatever. We're kind of in that same mode now as we were then, but nobody had the kind of panic mentality about it that we seem to be, looking at now. And I don't know if it's because of a collision of other factors, or just a general, people are worn down by a lot of stuff since 2007 that they respond differently. But I don't think this disease right now is that much worse or different from what we've already seen in our lifetimes. But the response is just much more hysterical, and I don't quite get why. And I don't see any reason to get hysterical about it. It's concerning, of course, but I'm not, as I said last week, I'm not as worried as I was 2 weeks ago about where this is headed. It's kind of, we've been down this road many times before.
Well, nobody likes the panic from the right, sorry, not you, way right, is that it is this bio disease from China, which I don't think at all. I don't buy that at all.
As much as I'd like to be conspiratorial, I don't think that's the case. But let's assume I'm right. You're nervous because it just mutated, but a lot of stuff just mutated. I mean, I think maybe Jan is let's say Audrey went out to her Asian doctor buddy and got some antiviral tea, right? So we're covered, I guess, all of us. But so she was asking about it, and he said it might be a little worse than the regular flu. He goes, hopefully not. I mean, he hasn't analyzed or anything. He said, hopefully that's all it is. He said, but he goes, a lot of what you see, the panic is that virtually nobody, including me, he goes, have any idea, unless you're a doctor, of how virulent and how unsafe or whatever it is a normal cold and flu season is worldwide. Because there's thousands of people every year. Anybody who's compromised, anybody who's on drugs, anybody who's older, anybody who's got lung issues, anybody who's, you know, a regular flu is a massive deal for you. Because a common cold is a massive deal for a lot of people that have any kind of compromised lungs. Because, this one might be a little worse, but it's like people are in denial of how this happened, because obviously we don't need a regular flu and this at the same time, because the regular flu saps hospital strength and everything to start with. So you don't need all that. I mean, he's not saying bring it on, but he's saying, the right now, the fear is, I've never seen anything like this. People walking around with, yanking bleach off shelves. Did we do that during the swine flu in 2009? I never did.
No, I don't remember that being talked about or film clips of the bleach or hand sanitizer vanishing from stores. I don't remember that kind of, or the political blowback either. I don't remember.
No. SP Futures down 145. Now, there's a lack limit there. When they come off that, I'll let everybody know. There's SP Futures down 410. We'll be right back. Stacks and Jacks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
This is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But if you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty and the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes, have you been frustrated by the lack of income your investments have provided? If you have answered yes to either of these questions, then we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. So please give me a call at 602-298-1278, 602-298-1278, so that I can explain further the benefits that PTI can offer you and your portfolio.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is now available to you. We are offering three of our research newsletter, the Daily World News Report, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks, including potential shorts. Each of these reports are available via email before the market opens. Go to our website, www.dacsresearch.net, to obtain the tool that meets your trading and investment needs. Or call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription. 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures trading have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI ProDirect. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Jack's Top Time Out. She's AV on the board. Jan Flanagan still with us. S&P futures locked down 145. That's 5%. Dow futures down 1255. NASDAQ futures down 410. 10-year yield 0.40. That's right, 0.40. Oil 3190 down 938 in the midst of a price war that Russia and I'm not so sure how Russia figures that oil down 10 bucks helps them, but they must think it's going to be this the new strategy of will hurt you more than you hurt us. Is this where did this come from, Jan? I mean, I think Trump was foolish to do that, and Putin foolish to do that. Is this the melt?
Oh yeah, and you know the saddest, the most infuriating thing about, you know, a period of upheaval like we have now is the gamesmanship. You know, we're all governments, every incumbent is, you know, throwing his or her weight around to try to make it appear that they're ahead of what they can't be ahead of, but they're all using it as a way of you know, knocking out their opposition and trying to position themselves better with their own people and make it look like they've got things under control, and it's all, you know, smoke and mirrors. So
there's no shame among any of these people. There's none. I mean, there is absolutely zero shame among the facts and all it's about. I mean, I hope that you know, let's put it this way. Let's say it's a personality quirk of Trump's. It's been there his whole life, right? I mean, he never lets the facts get away with a good story. I'm sure he never has. And but now he's president. But now other people are doing the same thing, just lobbing numbers out there. You're like, wait a minute, those don't match. What are you guys talking about? I mean, what are you doing? I mean, and I don't know how. And people, if they like somebody, they listen to them. They don't. It's every little thing now is being, you know, it's being challenged from the other side of the fact check back and forth. I think people, when it came to, you know, to 2009. SARS or whatever it was, swine flu. I think they just let people in the Bush, and Obama. You know, the guys who were in the Centers of Disease Control sort of handle it. And then you get this Ben Carson out there, and he has no more business in that job than I do. It appears to me. I mean, he's that guy. Does he carry gasoline to every fire ever goes to, or what? The whole lack of leadership, massive amounts of criticism. Everybody's worried about the criticism when the criticism's way too fast, and then people don't know what to do with it. They don't know how to get rid of the criticism, and yet people will snipe at absolutely everything people do. You could walk out tomorrow and say, I just solved world hunger, and people say, the guy's a sleabag. He's only in it for his own dollar. I mean, is there anything anybody can do now that isn't criticized by somebody?
No, and then the opportunism, you know, that now, you know, allows people to use anything as an opportunity to get in people's heads and point fingers and make, you know, people take the rap for something that is kind of ridiculous to think any one person or any one policy is behind any of this stuff. But it's happening in in Italy. It's happening in Iran, I think, too, and it's certainly happening here, where it's easy to take pot shots at a CDC, even in good times, for the way a bureaucracy of that kind of gets in the way of cheaper medicines and more responsive health care, or just a better system overall. But in a time like this, it becomes really, it's almost, you're foolish if you don't get into the ring and start slinging mud at each other. And it's an election year, too. So you add all these factors together, and we've got, its own perfect storm of, ways of upsetting the apple cart and making the administration look, weaker than it maybe it really is. But they play into it, too. And it doesn't, help the situation. When you get people who are already unsettled, and then it makes it look like there's nobody, at the top running the show, or you get too much static, which is really, I think, what's going on. It isn't that there's a clear message that could be given or that anybody has to, adhere to, but it's just there's so much being said and so much rumor mongering. And after a while, it's just, I got to filter it all out. I can't, do anything with this stuff. I can't believe half of what is being slung at me, so I got to withdraw a little bit and keep a cooler head about it. Because
John, how do you?
It's too easy to try to get points at a time like this, when it isn't really what we should be doing.
Well, is there this whole? Let's zero in for a second, and just one item: the test kits. This disease popped 8 weeks ago. I mean, the Chinese were a little slow with it. 12 weeks ago?
Yeah, like late December, I think, probably.
All right, before, so there was, let's be nice
in this country about it.
Let's be generous. Let's call it Thanksgiving, which is probably a little early. What would possess anybody on a disease that essentially just mutated into this form, would possess anybody to have like 20 million test kits around?
Right.
Do we even have a test kit for it? I mean, on a really bad H1N1 year, a really bad flu year, I don't ever recall. I mean, I had to go, out of all the flus I've had, I'm thinking I went to the doctor like once or twice, and that was after the flu kind of went away, or the cold went away, and then it just settled into kind of a cough that wouldn't leave. There was a bacteria thing, which happens after the virus is gone sometimes, and I ended up having to get a Z-Pak or whatever. I don't remember being tested or counted or anything. The doctor just listened to my lungs. Yeah, they're still they're still kind of clogged. Here, take the Z-Pak, call me if it doesn't work. And that, I mean, I'm not saying, and pretty much, and it worked. I mean, doctors, but I don't remember some blood test that had to go to the CDC to find out exactly what I had or what was left or anything like that. I mean, the idea that all of a sudden, everybody in a school, you show up and take them these tests. I don't even remember people taking swine flu tests.
No, they didn't. In my memory, Tom, I think that about the sickest I ever was my senior year of college. And I'd been home during the Christmas break. My dad was still working at the bulk mail center for the post office out in Forest Park. He came, home before Christmas with a really bad cold, cough, that he couldn't shake. Well, everybody in the family got it. And I don't know who else we probably gave it to. I went back to school for the second semester, and I had pneumonia. And I'd never, been sick like this. And, I was 21 years old and in the pink of health, otherwise a lot healthier than I am now, a lot stronger. And, I went to the infirmary at Notre Dame, and, they looked at me and hemmed and hawed. Did we admit him? Well, it looks like the chest x-ray doesn't look good at all, blah, blah, blah. We'll just give him, try to give him some of this antibiotic and tell him to just take it easy and don't go to class. So that's what I did. And no diagnosis. I don't know what it was, but boy, I sure don't want that again at age 67.
No, they're just
like, well, I had then. But there was, there's always been that kind of risk of exposure, and there's just a kind of, when you get a news cycle that turns around as quickly as it does now, everything kind of coalesces. It makes it look like this thing is an advancing thing, like, some sort of, Saxon invasion on these boats. All these people are sick, and it turns it into something that we expect that there to be a unified response to, and everybody should have their act together and know exactly what to do about it. And that's just ridiculous. You can't expect that.
Well, the idea that we're gonna
so you kind of make it up as you go along, and you hope the test kits, whatever that want a test kit that isn't accurate or reliable, but just the idea that there should be this stuff instantaneously, is we become too soft about this stuff. We're a little kind of used to quick responses, and when we don't get them, we start to just go crazy. And I think that's, you know, it's better to just say, well, what did we really think was going to happen anyway in a situation like this? It couldn't be an easy way out of it, and it couldn't be a quick way out of it. So let's just take it as it comes, but let's not lose our minds over it. That's
well,
the
idea that somehow the government can protect you from getting the flu is so bizarre.
It is. It's insane. there are too many things they can protect you against anyway, but the flu is certainly not one of them.
I mean, I don't think there's any question that you want some kind of response in this day and age to where it's not a 10-year for a shot anymore, an inoculation for against it. I'm thinking we should have something, you know, within 3-4 months in this day and age. Hopefully it's better than the one Jerry Ford gave everybody for the swine flu. You got sick with that. But, I mean, I think the test kits with this have a lot to do with so many people are walking around without any symptoms. You don't know if they have it or not. I mean, one thing's for sure, if you got SARS, you knew you had it. I mean, you went someplace because you were in bad shape. But this, maybe not. So, but, I mean, people, you're not supposed to get measles anymore. I'm not saying you should. But all this stuff, you know, I don't know, John. I mean, we start pointing our fingers. You know, out of all the things you could criticize a president from, but not protecting, you know, a country or a world from a flu is pretty tough. I mean, granted, the people there should be well organized and do what they're going to do. My criticism do not stem from Trump whatsoever on this. I mean, because I have all kinds of other stuff I can talk about, but my criticism is this: this Homeland Security Act passed after 9/11 has done more harm to this country than anything I've ever seen.
Oh, I'm with you.
Not only do we have like no rights anymore or any privacy, but all the stuff they were supposed to buy, they didn't buy. I mean, this cruise ship thing should be easy as hell. Land them here. We got 50,000 beds at this one abandoned base. We're going to fly everybody over there. We'll test everybody, and guess what? We got a hospital there that we can have up and running in an afternoon, like a MASH unit. We've got a cafeteria. We have a couple of cooks, and we're good to go. I mean, that should be a dirty bomb. It could have been whatever, you know, a bio thing in downtown Chicago. We don't have any of that infrastructure that we didn't. I think we paid for.
Well, we were frightened into paying for it, and you know the FEMA doomsters and TSA, all these things that, you know, they're going to protect us from the next shoe bomber or who knows what, and the expense, the money that was thrown at stuff, and how little we really have to show for it. That is kind of ludicrous to me. It's like, if this is the best we can do with all of the other things we gave up to get this far, then you can have the whole damn thing. This is a complete waste of money. If we had done anything else with that money, if we'd set it on fire, we could have at least heated some homes with it. We haven't even done that much.
Well, if you're a historian on ocean liners, if you drive along the waterfront at Philly, you'll see this huge, I think, 3-stack ship, the old SS United States.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's been dry docked since the 60s.
I mean, why not put that thing together? I mean, a lot of work's already been done on it. Why don't people put that thing together and make it into a hospital ship that can handle something like this when you need it, or if there's any kind of a war or is anything, that we can actually ship this thing someplace, take people out of an area if we have to. I mean, there's a lot of things you could use something. You could use it for troop transport if you ever needed that, and if you didn't need it for a hospital. I mean, come on. I'm not saying that we should spend the money on it. What I'm saying is, we seem to have already spent money, and where is it? And, you know, how many software? I read on that thing, Jan. I don't want to go back to bad memories, but I read something about how many people got contracts in the Washington area because of lobbyists for listening devices and blah 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 blah. All this software stuff for all this cameras and everything else, and they got all these contracts, and they all subcontracted them out to somebody else cheaper, and ended up with like Honeywell or something for like, they just got their dough and that was it. You know, okay, this, I got a million $10 million to do this, and Honeywell says, I'll do it for $5 million. Okay, you guys do it for $5 million, we'll give you the contract. I don't recall anybody, well, I wasn't around in World War II, I was around Vietnam. I don't know that this subcontracting part where you win the contract and you get to ship it to somebody else for less money. I mean, I was reading stories about Hurricane, what was it, Katrina, that somebody got a big contract to clean up New Orleans, and you know, how many people did, that they subcontracted, and all of a sudden you got a guy down there with three illegal Mexicans cleaning the street up for you know, for cash money. Meanwhile, some guys, I mean, this in the state we're in this country, the stealing from the government being a national sport. I tell you what, John, you know I'm not a law and order guy. Boy, you put me in the Oval Office, I'd have so many people in jail. Between antitrust and stealing, there'd be a white-collar prison. We'd have to reopen Joliet.
Well, you know, I suspect it's always been like this, Tom. It may actually have been worse in other times. And the example I think of is, you know, the Good War, World War II, where, you know, if you believe a lot of the propaganda that's been created about the U.S. at that time and what was going on in the home front and how unified the country was and how, you know, devoted everybody was to the outcome they wanted and how little crookedness there was. And then you look at somebody like Harry Truman, who the reason he was put on the ticket with Roosevelt in 1944 was because of the Senate hearings he had convened for fraud in military procurement.
Oh, it was all over the place.
The unbelievable theft and waste, you know, of money that Congress had voted to go into armaments and protective gear, whatever else, it was going into somebody else's pocket on this side of the hostilities. It wasn't getting anywhere it was supposed to. And everybody, you know, the higher-ups knew about it, and this was just considered the price of doing business in wartime. And Truman's hearings really, I think, shook up the country, and that made him into a kind of, you know, hero. About 1943 or so, and had it not been for that, he wouldn't have been on the ticket with Roosevelt. But that, I think, he was, you know, an honest enough guy where he could see exactly what was going on.
He was ahead of what he was ahead of the
Senate to expose it, and I'd say thank God he did. But I'm sure it was the same in World War One and in the Civil War. The crookedness and the profiteering has always been there. I don't think we're any different. I don't even know if we're any worse now than we were then. So
I'll give you maybe a little bit of a difference. People have always been people, right? I think one of the, in my terms, I don't ever think that we're naive from the South Side enough to know that the PT boat manufacturer, or engine manufacturer in Buffalo, wherever the hell he was, didn't find a way to charge 5 to 10% more from the PT boat engine. Now, who he had to pay to get the contract would have been all included, I don't know. The only difference, I think, John, is that the 10%, shall we say, largesse, I don't think it was 100%. Although maybe he would have asked for it, but I think the money stayed in Buffalo. I think that at least it went to the saloons, the restaurants, the people in Buffalo to work for him. And then maybe all the guys worked for him made an extra penny or two an hour because of that. It's different now than where you give somebody a contract. They take it overseas and then don't pay anybody. The trickle down is not trickle downing, and there's a lot of reasons for that. I mean, if Merck gets some huge contract, or what was the one of the guys that went to was it Forest Labs that went to Bermuda, the first one? That's not. It's not the same as giving a few extra bucks, say, to Abbott Labs back in the day, where they're right here, you know. If there's any extra money spent, it's going to go to Loyola. You know what I'm saying? There was a spillover that at least spilled over in the area. So I mean, I don't know how much you can quantify that, but the idea that none of this comes back is, or people not paying. I mean, even the government got stiffed. How many governmental contracts went to these companies that kept their money overseas and never really paid the 35% tax? I mean, so let me get this straight. At least if I give you some huge contract, you want to keep the money here and pay me the taxes on the profits. You don't even want to do that? Well, that's mighty white of you. You can't even give me my little share back? I mean, I think it's, matter of fact, in that book, what's his name? Soldier and Statesman. Oh God, the guy's name was the Plan for Europe. I'm going brain dead. The Marshall Plan, George Marshall.
George Marshall.
He said all the guys in there in his department, all they did was rag on Harry Truman. Because Harry Truman, I believe, was he head of the Finance Committee or the Armed Services Committee? One of the two in the Senate. And he would.
Yeah, I can't remember which.
And then he said that his guys, why should we have to answer to the civil people in a war? When Harry Truman would be in there and say, okay, you paid how much for this tank? Did you go out for bid? What about these other guys? Looks to me like you could have done it cheaper. What about this overrun? Where'd that come from? I mean, and Marshall's idea was it would, quote, be easier to fight a war in a dictatorship, but it wouldn't be better. Because we did pretty darn good in 3.5 years with the chains we had on these guys. There's nothing that says you can't get a decent deal when you go out and get tanks. There's nothing that says you got to pay double for them. Right?
Oh, yeah. One thing that probably has changed, and I would agree with you on this, that it would be a lot harder to find any senator today to launch any kind of a crusade against general fraud in any area, whether it be in pharmaceuticals or in the military or disease fighting, whatever, than it was to find such people in previous times, because so many people in government now are on the take and they're waiting for their chance at the revolving door as soon as they leave, and they're already beholden to various industries and interest groups that completely corrupts their thinking and their ethics. And I have such a cynical view of any kind of oversight at the highest levels of government, that it's all just an illusion that there's anybody minding the store, and it's more likely these people are just, where's mine mentality. So when you have people like that watching the store, of course, the store is going to get looted by the very people who are watching it. So the likelihood of that being the situation is much greater today than it was in World War II.
Remember,
World War I or the Civil War, you're absolutely right.
Back in the 2000s, I haven't heard this, told the story for a while, but it hits home. It's on the lines of what you're talking about. By the way, we're still locked down, 145 on these S&Ps. What was the rep from Northside? Was it Marissa Bean? Melissa Bean?
Melissa Bean. She was just like a 1 or 2 termer, I think.
Yeah, and she was an entrepreneur. Nice, bright lady. Well, she gave a speech in one of the Mesro things out, and I'm going to be quick here, but I got a minute or two. And she was, we're talking, I of course stick my hand up like a knucklehead, which I never usually did, but I said, we got all these bank mergers. I said, well, I'm going to ask you if you wanted more or less banks, you're probably going to say more. And she goes, well, yeah. And I said, well, okay, every weekend now, we're knocking off 4 and 5 of them. I mean, so there's less every week, even though you don't want it to happen and I don't want it to happen. The fact is, it's happening. I mean, I don't know who watches this stuff. I said, but I looked at a couple of them last week. I said, this company bought, they sidled, AV's bank, the John Flanagan's bank, and you paid up this much to get it, and the government took the bad loans, and you just paid $50 million for like $4 trillion worth of deposits in 28 locations. And I'm going, wow, that seems a little light. I said, do you have somebody in Congress or a group of people, a couple sides of the aisle or some committee that routinely takes a random sample of these bank transactions or any transactions like this and, doesn't, kind of goes through them and says, somebody sitting on somebody's lap or somebody paying somebody off. I said, somebody's look a little bit juicy. And I said, or if I happen to, if I raise some money tomorrow from some people, can I throw my hat in a ring with the FDIC or whoever it is and put my hat in a ring and I'll end up with a bank? And she goes, well, no, you probably can't get into that loop. And no, nobody ever reviews them. I go, why not? She goes, why should we review them? I said, well, because, why should you? And I think she was one of the good ones.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. But even she, or anybody with any kind of, dream here of doing good knows what they're up against, and it's too big for one person to fight. It's too big for, 10 people to fight, and it's maybe impossible to fight. This is how you get into the game, and you can't pry these people out. So I get really furious when I think about what kind of power these people have and the money that they stand to make for really kind of lining their own pockets. I hate to say it, but
yeah. Well, the reason why there's a presidential pension is because Truman was broke when he left office. Yep. What did President make back then? $25,000 a year or something?
Yeah, and he went off with Bess in this beat up old Chevy, and he was going to drive himself back to Independence, Missouri, and stop along the way and kind of listen to what people were saying about what he had done as president. Yeah. Can you imagine such a thing today?
Oh, got it. John, thank you very much, buddy. SP Futures still locked down 145. NASDAQ Futures down 419. Be right back, Mr. David Edelman.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Harrell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks,
stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tomas, she's AV on the board. Angelica Vlasenko S&P futures down, locked down 145. As that futures down 410. We're starting to get lower here to where 145 is a lot. Way below that 3,000 number, 2819. Dow futures down 1255. Over in Europe, we've got wackage over here for sure as well. The, everybody in the world must be on the CNBC site today because, having trouble getting there. Maybe a bunch of traffic, weather, sports while I futz my machine here.
Good morning, my friends. Windy conditions are expected today, for the whole day, as well as rain spreads across east area. A few rumbles of thunder are possible through mid-morning across north central Illinois. Rain will end overnight, hopefully. Expect winds at 15 to 25 miles per hour, and the highest of the day will be 54, the lowest 37. In Phoenix, it's partially cloudy today with the highest of 77 and lowest 58. Expect on and off rain showers overnight. In traffic, at Dan Ryan inbound at 31st, a reported multi-vehicle crash blocking the left express line. So expect delays up to 20 minutes. And also be aware of coming rain. It can make roads to be slick. No major issues at this moment, but with more rain on the way, you might want to leave a couple minutes early this morning.
We got rain, we got virus. I'd turn back if I were you.
Yeah, we got everything.
We got the Cubs lost, the Hawks lost, the Bulls lost. In Europe, DAX is now down 7%, 815 points. Ouch. FTSE down 442, that's 7%. Kekaran down 374, that's 7.3%. So we're having real problems in these worldwide markets. Nikkei down 5%, 1,050. Shanghai down 91, that's 3%. That's not horrible. Hang Seng down 1106, 4.2. Oil, big story this morning, down 909. It was below 30, I think, at one point. 3209, Brent 3540. Arbob Gas, 115. That's unreal. Bonds, another unreal. 0.45% on the 10-year, the Bund minus 0.86, Japan minus 0.13, and we've got gold not only up $2, 1674, with 1702 when we walked in. So gold has had a turnaround here. Maybe that'll mean the market will come back here. We'll see. Thank you, AV. David, you with us?
I'm here.
All right, explain. What does your chart say when you're locked down a limit?
You got to see when they open up, what the magnitude of lower and on a gap, if they can close the gap and get back above or not, or if they just run, if this is the beginning of another leg. You cannot tell until it opens. You have no price action to base it on.
I remember trading in the OEX, and one of the most difficult times was when you'd do the lock limit during the day, where you'd bounce there and you can't go any lower. Then it'd bounce off, then it'd bounce down, and then all of a sudden people would be doing stuff, and you could always, buy something, obviously, if it's locked down. You couldn't sell, so the put prices would go to the moon, then all of a sudden somebody would come in and sell a bunch of puts, and then you're afraid of that, because all of a sudden you just bought these things at a huge price, and then they'll try and tell you, the guys that were signaling the Merck, how many were offered locked down, 1,000 offered, 2,000 offered.
Right.
And, it's a really bad way to trade. It's really hard to price your stuff. What's the next? What Frank said, 7%, David? Is that right? Something like that? 7% down is the next one, and then
I don't know I think there's a 7, and I think there's a 10 as well.
That agrees with Frank. Then that's what he was mentioning earlier. We haven't done this for so long. I knew they were still there.
And when it's a larger number. When the market moved all-time highs, the point that, the number of points is obviously a lot larger. So, it's obviously very, very significant.
I can't get over some of these stocks. Absolutely, look at, did you see Schlumberger this morning, 1790?
It's unreal. Chevron down 15%. One of them, I can't even remember if it was Oxy or one of them. I don't believe I'm not positive about this, but I don't think I have one oil stock, certainly no oil or gas ETFs in any of my managed portfolios. I'm almost sure I don't have a share of an oil stock, but I saw one of them down 30% overnight.
Well, the XLE.
And a large cap one at that.
Well, the XLE is down 19%. I've got people in there.
It's pretty amazing.
Thank God. I mean, I've got puts, so it's down $8, and we'll make, you know, six and a quarter on the puts. We're still down. It's not like it's
right.
I mean, I'm glad now. The question is, do we roll the puts down and look for a bounce back, or do we say it's going lower?
I don't recall ever seeing this on oil, so I'm certainly not the one to advise you. What I can say is that in relationship to the rest of the market, I mean, it's not just the price war where Russia backed away from, you know, the announced 1.5 million barrel, you know, cuts by OPEC, and then hostility grew. You know, you shouldn't have done this without us, you know, talking to us. And then Saudi Arabia said, you know, basically, we're going to just increase output and we'll have the price war, and too bad. But, you know, it is a fear that this is a reflection of, you know, softening GDPs, you know, everywhere. I think that's what's worrying the market. That said, you know, if you kind of look at least on our domestic indexes, I think oil and energy is 4.5-5% of the S&P 500, so it's by itself, not that it doesn't affect other sectors, but it's a minimal contribution. And, you know, whether it's battered airlines or battered cruise lines or whatever, looking at fuel and fuel costs, which certainly in the case of the airlines supposedly are about 25-30% of their operating costs, you know, whatever planes they do send out that are not canceled, you know, will have much, much lower costs. So, I mean, and even at the pump, you were mentioning, you know, unleaded gas, and I saw the futures last night. When you're looking at gas 115 on the futures board, typically, and it just depends on your municipality, I think it's around a 95-cent, at least around here, a 95-cent premium for local taxes and the like, federal taxes. So if you add 95 to 115, $2.10. I mean, you know, around my neighborhood, gas was 2.65 yesterday, and out in the burbs, I saw it for about 2.40. So I mean, if all of a sudden you walked in and it was 2.10, I mean, I think you'd probably have a smile. Not if you were holding a oil and gas ETF, but if you had to fill up your truck, I bet you'd be happy at 2.10 or 2.05.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about that. I think it helps a little bit. I don't know if it's the question is why it's happening. I'd rather pay 2.50 and have the economy be all right. I mean,
no, I get what you're saying.
But I mean, there's not going to be a whole lot of gassing up of cruise ships.
Yeah, I think they're going to suffer, you know, for a long period of time. I mean, I really do. And full disclosure, I own no shares, but. You know, say it's 80 degrees in 3 weeks. Well, a lot of this virus stuff's going to go away. I mean, at least epidemiologists and pandemic experts say that, in general, other than skin-to-skin contact, as far as aerosol, that this virus is very unlikely to survive really hot temperatures. So let's presume that they're right. You may change your mind and say, hey, you know what, I'll wear a mask, but I'm going to go on an airline. But you're probably not going to say, hey, it's 80 degrees, I'm going to go to the Bahamas, because of what's happened when you get 19 crew members, you know, on a ship that are infected, and then the thing's quarantined off the coast for a week or two. You're probably not going to get on in June or July.
Well, no. I mean, the idea of the airplanes, I mean, somebody was telling me last night that I got a text from somebody that the $50 to go to Florida.
Holy cow, seriously?
Yeah.
One way or round
one
trip?
One way, and the return trip was like 90 or something.
Still, that's pretty sweet.
And I was talking about, they were talking about huge discounts on business class seats for seniors. I mean, I think if you want to go anywhere, you could probably go. I'm convinced.
The thing is, since they say, you know, 6 feet away, whatever is, dies, probably have plenty of empty rows to shield yourself.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm not laughing because it's funny. It's tragic.
It truly is. I mean, what's happened to those people in that nursing home, I can't even begin to, you know, you can't just call you up and tell you your mother's all of a sudden got a fever, she's probably not going to make it. Well, can I come see her? No. I mean, I'm not sure the response we're having with all the hype and all this stuff is all that matching so far. I hope it is. I mean, I don't mean in a negative way.
It isn't matching. It isn't.
No, what I'm saying is I don't know that why you would expect to have 20 million testing kits. When was the last time you got tested for the regular flu, David? Did your doctor have 50 testing kits for H1N1? I don't think so.
No.
Are they even exist?
Mostly the common flu, though. It isn't even necessarily a testing kit. I mean, I have had, not coronavirus, but, just symptoms of the seasonal flu or whatever, other than I haven't had temperature. And I go to a local, really an incredible specialist. I think I mentioned last week, their nose and throat specialist for Advocate and Northwestern and North Shore. And, they put these tubes down your nose, not to be gross, down your nose and whatever, and they have cameras and whatever. And he basically said, I can look in your nose and throat and literally in a matter of a minute or two tell you you have a bacterial infection, which I don't, or just sinus related, which you do. So it's, and I'm not saying that will cover all viruses and flus and whatever, but the equipment and techniques that they have, I mean, maybe not for coronavirus, but for normal seasonal stuff and whatever, is pretty advanced from what it was even a year or two. This would have been a procedure done once every 6 months if you had, serious cancer or whatever. Now they can do it routinely.
Well, when you say they can, you're one of the top five guys in the state. If you go to the Sawbones in Peoria, he doesn't have that. It looks to me like he got a cough.
No, you're right. You're right.
I mean,
you're absolutely 100% right. But they do have those procedures at Northwestern, at North Shore, at University of Chicago, at Loyola. I mean, those are all Chicago bound. I admit, if you're in Carbondale or whatever, God bless. But if it's serious enough, hey, you take the trip.
Well, I mentioned earlier that Audrey went to her Asian doctor friend and got some stuff, antiviral teas, so we're good to go, I guess. That's if she shares them. I don't know. Maybe she wants to be gone. You never know. He says, I think in his opinion, the guy's from China, wrote this huge book on Chinese medicines. He's on the faculty of Chicago. He's an interesting guy. He said it looks to him from what he's hearing, because he hears everybody from over there, it's worse, not by a whole hell of a lot, than the regular flu. He said, but the big kid on the table is that most people don't realize how dangerous the regular flu is.
Yeah, and that's been my point all along. You have, and again, not minimizing human tragedy or disease. One death is unfortunate, and we should have been better prepared, and we shouldn't have cut back funds for CDC. I'm not minimizing it. But when you have 22 deaths, 19 in the same state in Washington, and you have, over 9,000 already from the seasonal flu and other flus, even sinus-oriented flus and the like, and nobody even talks about it, 360,000 deaths from seasonal flu in this country over 10 years, and nobody bats an eye.
No. The thought of, like, the worst seasonal flu, which is probably what, the H1N1 or type A influenza.
Right.
We never try and stop that from coming up in the southern hemisphere.
And did you ever see Europe or Italy down 10% in a night, and they've had unbelievable deaths from seasonal flu.
Yeah. The other thing I read though is, we don't need two of them. As bad as the seasonal flu's been this year, if you add this one on top of it, we really got a bad thing. I mean, you'd rather it not get out in the general population. There's no doubt about
that. And here's what worries me. I truly think, despite, the market's unbelievable reaction and, we're going to have to quarantine cities and all this and all that, I truly think, I'm not going to say it's going to be behind us or whatever. But I truly think in 2-3 weeks, presuming the weather gets real warm and hot, that this is going to be, I'm not going to say it's going to die, but it's going to die down big time. What worries me is, you know, October, November comes, and it's 40 degrees, and they don't have vaccines, they don't have medical procedures. Yes, they'll have kits, test kits, but they still won't be able to manage something, and even if Moderna or Regeneron or Gilead come out, you know, with treatments or vaccines or whatever, they'll probably be approved in Italy, but probably not in the U.S. And so what happens next November? Do we get the same kind of slam again?
Well, I think that you have a real problem to the point where, let's just say, I hope it's not impossible, but if you have so many people that have it with no symptoms or very mild symptoms, I don't see how you contain it. If you want to contain something, the best thing you want to have happen is the second I get sick, I'm you know, as gross as it may seem, I'm relegated to the bathroom or I'm someplace. I'm not going anywhere, right? But if all of a sudden I mean, I've never not played basketball, not played handball, not played softball because I had a mild cold. I never stayed home from work.
No, I get it.
You know, I mean,
hey, I get it.
I don't know. I just hope. The interesting part is how many people, I saw some people at the Restaurant Depot yanking all this, was it Purell? And it,
yeah.
So finally I go on a line.
Purell.
I said, by the way, does an antibacterial soap help against the virus? They said, no, it is no better shot. You're better off using Ivory and just washing your hands with regular soap than you are antibacterial against the virus. Doesn't help it at all. The only thing that will kill a virus is, regular soap will get it off your hands. But the guys came out from Tito and said, Tito will not sanitize your hands because why would anybody want to waste good vodka? I don't know.
Clorox wipes.
You need 60% alcohol.
Right.
So now
Clorox wipes will kill it.
Well, so now the...
And I own no shares of Clorox.
Well, because they're all alcohol, right?
Right.
So now 151 rum might do it. Just saying. Or some of the bottled and bond whiskeys are, what, 110 proof? They might come close.
Right.
You know, I don't understand the mentality. I was watching this weekend stuff, and I had my buddy Dan, I won't say where he works, not Dan, president of PTI, another Dan, went to the Costco out in Napertucky, and he said they were out of toilet paper by 9:30, even though you can only buy two bunches. I go, two bunches will last a family like 2 years. How long do these people think they're I can't imagine. When I get one of those things, I split it with three people. what do you need? I mean, but any place anybody's
people
pulling...
are staying home. I mean, I went. There's a little thing called Goldfish for my first and only granddaughter, and typically there's, you know, eight pools with, you know, infants and toddlers, and they go up to 9 years old from like 3 months, and each pool has one or two instructors with nine kids and nine adults in the water. It was like, and they're always full. They're like always full. It's eight or nine, eight or nine, eight or nine. There was two, three, two, three. I mean, they were just shielding these kids and shielding the adults. I mean, it was down 70, in some cases 80% of normal capacity.
Well, I guess, David, we got a few minutes. Let's talk turkey here about the market and the companies. I mean, and you and I have talked for a long time about debt levels sneakily growing. I mean, if Boeing, let's take the 737, which now nobody even cares if they get anymore, it doesn't appear. That's why Boeing's getting crater every day. I get Boeing down on $25. How long can they be out of production before, when they ramp up, they call up, you know, David's seat arm manufacturer and go, it's been too long, I lay everybody off, I'm gone. I mean, how, and we're not getting parts.
Well, they already have Spirit Aero, which, again, I think the symbol is SPR. I own no shares. But they are a huge, huge supplier, and GE for the engines, and, I mean, for that matter, Rolls-Royce in England. They've already told them, you know, hey, don't produce anymore because we don't know, you know, even if we get the plane back in the air by June or July, we got whatever. I don't know the number, 53, 80, you know,
yeah.
787 matches on the ground, and we don't need any. And I know Spirit laid off, I don't know, a third, 40% of their workforce. GE is cut back. I don't know about Rolls-Royce, but no, I mean, it's already, even before, you know, this panic.
Well, this is the part that I understand how old manufacturing used to work, which is nowhere near the day, but there's a difference in, like, a recession or something, David, when you have, especially when you have the just-in-time inventory. I mean, if you had a plant that was working, 24/7.
By the way, just interrupting you for 1 second, the one we were searching for was Occidental Petroleum,
yeah.
$16.60, down 36%.
That's unreal. But I mean,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, but I'm saying if the normal business cycle would be, David's, whatever, bolt manufacturing company, things get slower. All of a sudden you go back to two shifts from one, then you maybe go to one shift from two. And it's a bad thing, and you're trying to get some people some hours and whatever. But you're still there. So when the call comes from Boeing to say, we're up and running, instead of, no bolts this week, I need X number next week, and let's start to ramp this back up. Okay, now you got your first shift guys are now busy, and in 2 weeks now maybe you call back a half a second. You do that sort of that's the recessions that you and I were used to when we were utes. Okay, did he say you? But now the guy is going to call up and say, wait a minute, I was only making bolts for four guys. They all said no. I don't have that kind of dough. The plant is now leveled. It's a Walmart, That I'm concerned that you can't let that kind of stuff happen, David, because where everybody's got is so specialized, they're so just in time. If you can't get your repair parts from China, there better be some planes flying over there and pulling parts and other things back from there, right, even if we're not sending people back and forth. Because the more and more advanced you get, in some ways, the more fragile you get. You don't have every part.
No, I agree, and I think that the disruption of supply chain is, especially with regards to China and South Korea to an extent, and even, places like Vietnam, Thailand, Singapore, is very significant. And I do think that, whether it's a Hasbro or whatever, a Dollar Tree or whatever, I think that they have, tried, with the tariffs and whatever to the best that they can to diversify their supply chain routes, whatever. And part of it's probably, successful. I doubt that the interruption is, without the virus, had we not had the virus, is as significant as one might normally think of. But with the virus, it's very significant.
Are any of these stacks like the Chesapeakes and the Arcelor and the AKS, and whether they're being bought by the one or Steel, U.S. Steel, or these guys, are they as wounded as they look? They must be.
I don't know the answer. I haven't traded a share of a Steel. I mean, maybe I hadn't, not really. I can't even remember. I mean, maybe one time in the last year for a short period of time for, 2-day day trade or whatever. But I haven't traded them or followed them or whatever. They're just so battered and beaten. And, even when they're quote-unquote healthy, there's price
rates
still even with Japan.
We got a dash. I just looked at you were talking about the one earlier, Halliburton, 917. It's down like 40% today. Yeah. SP futures still locked down 145. NASDAQ futures down 410. This is bad news today, but back tomorrow, hopefully a little more uplifting news tomorrow morning.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.